Old Switcheroo, where we're talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I'm Mike.
And I'm JMO.
Next week, we start Season 2 with the classic Sega Genesis game Sonic the Hedgehog 2. So this is the last episode of a feature we've been calling the Old Switcheroo Light Switch. Instead of our normal focus on the over 250 retro games available on the Nintendo Switch Online, we'll be talking a bit about what the gaming we've been doing during the break has been. Subscribe or follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to make sure you're ready for when Season 2 starts. Before we start our...
It's going to be a great season, Mike. I tried to sneak it in. It's going to be a great season, you guys. So many good episodes lined up for you.
Before we start our gaming recap, we have a trailer for Champion Cinema, a movie podcast focused on cult films and oddities.
Hi, folks. I'm Chris with a C.
And I'm Chris with a K.
We are the distinguished and handsome British gents who host the Champion Cinema podcast.
You know what they say about us Brits? Bad teeth, awful food, but a rich history of exceptional film criticism.
Carrying on that tradition, you will find us on Champion Cinema discussing cinematic milestones such as The Long Good Friday,
American Psycho,
A Better Tomorrow,
Death Wish 3,
Halloween Resurrection,
Exorcist 2, The Heretic,
Turkish Superman,
Star Wars, among many other things.
Not only do we discuss and analyze films, we'll also tell you about the various pieces of tie-in merchandise you may not know about, such as newly commissioned artwork,
action figures,
video games,
soundtrack releases,
commemorative plates,
scented candles,
socks,
and the most noteworthy physical media releases.
Champion Cinema, with Chris with a C
and Chris with a K.
Find us on all reputable podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spreaker. You can also find us on YouTube.
Just search for Champion Cinema and we'll talk read at you soon.
Until then, I'll see you down the pit.
And I'll see you on the heap. Champion Cinema.
All right. What have you been playing?
Well, let me give you a couple updates on games I've talked about on the past in Light Switch. I am gradually working my way towards the true ending of the Splatoon 3 roguelite. I am excited because I'm at that point where, like, I've updated my stats so much that the run isn't difficult anymore. And there's other options, like I can unlock higher risk and greater reward modes, but I've always kind of been a path of least resistance kind of person when it comes to roguelite. So I don't think I'm going to mess with that. But I'm a couple of weapons away from getting to the true ending. You've played a few roguelites, right?
Yes.
Which ones are your go-to? I know you said you didn't play Dead Cells, but you've played others.
I mean, Balatro has definitely been a roguelike getting a lot of my attention.
Oh, yeah. How's your Balatro going?
It's getting there. I think I have 3 Jokers left to unlock.
Whoa.
And they're all insane.
Wasn't there like 50? Yeah, they're all... But that's
150 total.
Wow. Do you know what your total playtime is?
Like 95 hours.
What? That's a lot for like a month, Mike.
It's a really good game.
Do you have a Steam Deck or you just play it on your computer?
I just play it on the computer.
Okay, so...
Yeah, so I think the remaining Jokers, one of them I have to score like 100 million points on a hand, which is both utterly insane and also really frustrating that I've almost done that once.
How close do you get?
It's not going to sound like I was close because I was at like 60 million, but... I had something that was randomly doubling for every card that was played. And so it was like, if it had triggered once more, I would have hit it. And then I also have to get
exponentials, like you have multipliers.
Yeah. So like, it sounds far, but I only needed that the double one more doubling. And then I think the other one is like $400 at once. And I have never gotten more than like $120 at once. Cause it's what you're using to like buy new cards.
Right.
And I have no idea how that's possible to get up that high in that game.
Just keep grinding at it.
Yeah, but you kind of run out of game at a certain point. So I'm not sure how people are getting that much money in that time frame.
Gotcha.
So I'm nearly at the point that I will consider that game complete.
Right. When you reached enough achievements that you're like, this is my personal journey with this game is done.
When my collection is 100% complete, and then I'm not going to worry about the other weird, insane achievements.
Yeah. Another game I've talked about before on Light Switch is Marvel Snap. They just released one of the most powerful cards in the game, because Marvel Snap, for those who aren't aware, you know, it's a trading card game. And Mike and I played a lot of Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering, you use little energy cards as your resource to play more cards. And in that game, if you use too much energy than you can use, more than you can use, it's this thing called mana burn, and you take damage for basically over-allotting on your resources. So they just basically released the first card in Marvel Snap that uses that mechanic. If your opponent has unspent energy at the end of a turn, Red Hulk gets bigger. And it's cool because, like, Red Hulk is sitting in your hand getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the stroke of genius is that they added an animation so your opponent knows if your Red Hulk is getting bigger, because they can see him, like, literally he's like, and he, like, rises out of your hand and shows himself to your opponent. And it's great for head games, because a big part of that game is, like, you decide when the game is over. And the longer you want to stay, the more you potentially have to win or lose. So it's this great moment of, like, I know they have a Red Hulk in their hand getting stronger and stronger. Do I have enough to overcome it by the end, or do I run screaming for safety? And so it's been a really cool mechanic added into the game, is that level of, like, having to carefully allot your resources.
On that one, is the energy like, hey, you have this much on a turn?
Yeah.
Or okay, so it's not like Magic where you just don't tap land if you don't want to, if you want to avoid the mana burn. Here, it's like you have to figure out how to use that allowed energy, or else it will hurt you.
Yeah, okay. So it's turn one, you have one energy, turn two, you have two, you know, so on and so forth. And so there's ways to, like, add extra energy. Like, there's one card, Corvus Glaive, he's one of Thanos's minions, and he discards two cards from your hand but gives you one energy more. So now you have less cards to play, but you have a greater opportunity to play more expensive cards earlier. And so it's a central mechanic of the game, is a lot of, you know, how are you going to use your energy to the most efficient way possible? And now there's a card that officially punishes players who aren't accomplishing that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty rad. And then the last thing I want to talk about was just the gluttony of video game related viewing that we have lately. So you're still not into X-Men 97, right? You haven't started
it? I have not gotten to that yet, no.
Okay, but you're going to.
It is going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet.
Okay. So there's an episode. Do you mind if I say, like, the title and premise, or you'd want to be totally spoiler free? There's an episode called Motendo, which is a retro gaming themed episode. And so they do really cool stuff with the animation and the, you know, whole, like, you recently published a YouTube short for us about, you know, what happens if kids get trapped in video games. Very timely. Like,
excellent.
That dropped a couple of days after the X-Men episode about getting trapped in a video game. But it's great, though, because you can tell the people who made the show, they're fans of retro gaming like you and I. And so it feels really authentically loving to old games, and particularly old X-Men games. So I thought that was awesome. Did you hear the news about Comedy Central? Did you? It was in the news today,
no.
April 17th. So Comedy Central recently announced that they are doing a series, an animated series, about one of the games we've covered for this podcast. And it's a retro Sega game, and it's probably not the one you were going to think.
When you started, I was hoping that the Dig Dug 2 movie was coming.
Not as such, no. Retro Sega.
I'm not even...
So it had to be a Genesis. It was one of our very first episodes. Comedy Central is doing a Golden Axe series.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not an inherently funny series, but that maybe that'll work better. Like, maybe if you try to do a sincere Golden Axe show, it'd be too, you know, kind of corny. So maybe tongue-in-cheek is the right way to go. But I'm intrigued.
Yeah, that's... Is that... Are they trying to do this live action or?
No, it's animated.
Okay, it is animated. All right.
Yeah. But they did a, I think it's called, what's it called? Enchanted? No. Disenchanted, maybe? There's, like, the Matt Groening.
Oh, Futurama. Yeah, I think Disenchanted sounds right.
Yeah, it's like Futurama, but what if fantasy instead of sci-fi? Yeah. So I liked it. It was no Futurama, but I hope that this feels different enough in tone to kind of establish its own identity.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. I think it'll potentially be really cool.
That's and such then, a weird choice.
It's such a weird choice. Toe Jam and Earl is what I would have assumed.
I like really that just... hope that they don't have a golden axe in it and that's a point raised.
That would be amazing. They steal jokes from our episode. We're like, hey, one of those three people that listens stole and jacked our jokes. And then by the time you guys are listening to this, we should have had at least our first couple episodes of Knuckles on Paramount Plus. So that'll be definitely be a day one watch for me. I love the live action Sonic movies and Idris Elba reprising the role of Knuckles. And like, you know, I mean, they have the same computer graphics. So like, it looks as good as the movie, I think. And, you know, after how great Twisted Metal was on Peacock, shout out to War Boss 5, Ryan Lay, because he also loves Twisted Metal. I'm also a big fan of Halo, Last of Us. Like, there's a Fallout, I'm told, is great. Like, I just think there's this all of a sudden, whoa, there's a lot of really good gaming shows out right now. So have you watched any of them?
I have watched none of them.
Yeah. I mean, if you like drama, you'd definitely be into Last of Us. And I'd be curious your opinion on Halo, because Halo is a big part of your gaming as a young man. And opinions are mixed, but Brian and I are fans of Halo. And it takes the narrative in some daring places that didn't land with a lot of people, but it landed with me particularly.
Yeah, I think it's just the series is don't tend not to appeal to me.
You're more of a movie person.
Yeah, because the movies fall into like the compartmentalization of like this is the amount that I would like to consume and then be done.
Yeah,
shows feel like a commitment.
Right. What have you been up to?
So I have two games. One of them is that I finally gotten around to that's been sitting in my Steam library for probably like 2 years. There is this series of games called The Room.
I played through the first one.
Okay. Yeah. Not to be confused with the movie The Room, which also would be
amazing.
Be a fascinating video game. So the premise with all of these is that you kind of have that they're sort of like an inside out escape room in that it's you're in a room, but like you have some sort of puzzle box type thing usually. And so the most recent one is The Room 4 Old Sins. And you basically are in like the attic of a house, and the attic of the house contains a dollhouse of the house. And there's weird occult things that have gone on in the past that you're sort of trying to figure out. And so you are exploring that by way of the dollhouse and working your way through the different parts of the different rooms of the dollhouse and sort of going into, I think, 9 of the rooms over the course of the game.
It's a great series. I played through the entire first one and I think halfway through the second one. I played it on iPad, and they are on Switch as well, but all of the puzzles are very like touch based and like rotating and sliding, and it's for such a simple premise, it is very satisfying to unlock more things. I feel like you make progress at just the perfect pace that you never feel hopelessly stuck, but it never feels easy.
Yeah, I think it also does a pretty good job of sort of unlocking new things as you're completing things. So there's not too many points where you're stuck and you're like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing next or where I'm supposed to be next. Usually you're at least at like, that's a thing I have to solve that I should be able to solve and I'm not sure how, or this piece is the next thing to use. Like it doesn't overwhelm you to the point where you're like, I don't know where I should be.
Yeah, that's a good one. What else have you been playing?
So the other thing, I was over at a friend's place on the weekend and he has a Switch and he's like, you know, we can play some stuff on the Switch. I'm like, sure. The thing that he selected to play was Shredder's Revenge.
Yes. Classic TMNT beat 'em up reboot.
Yeah. And so we did that whole game from start to finish.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, I feel torn about that kind of thing because I also did the same thing. I played it start to finish with my friends on Xbox Live when it came out. It was on Game Pass. I think it's still on Game Pass, actually. You liked it? I liked it.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. My issue though is that like with the unlimited credits, there's no danger in not beating it. Like you just keep pressing start until you see the entire game in one sitting. And it's like sometimes I feel like I wish when they do these retro reboots, they would do something to like limit your number of tries so that you'd have to get gradually better to see the whole game. I don't know. There's something anticlimactic about just playing all the way through and having no real sense of challenge because you have unlimited quarters in your digital pocket. Do you follow what I'm saying at all?
I do. I mean, I think the flip side to it to some extent would be like it does have, I don't know where it goes with it, but it does have the challenges for each
Yeah,
level, where
right.
usually one of those is something like get through this. I think it's usually like without even taking damage or something close to that.
Right.
So it sort of feels like those provide that sense of challenge. I don't know if that's just a to say that you've beaten them, or if it unlocks any additional content.
Yeah, two games that did this really well was Streets of Rage 4. That was another beat 'em up throwback, and they added like a sort of endless gauntlet roguelite sort of mode where like has how far can you get? And I feel like that's sort of similar with the challenges, is that like you're not going to accomplish those unless you're actually good at the game. So you can work their way through that. But it's not new like story, right? It's just kind of little challenge rooms. Is that right?
I'm not sure what they do with the challenge,
Okay.
how the challenges factor in.
Yeah. It's funny enough, but one of the games that I thought did this perfectly was this real schlocky shooter game on the Wii called Target Terror. Do you remember Target Terror? We played it a little bit. It's like a light gun shooter. And
I
it's
think so.
ridiculous. Yeah, it's like you some full motion video enemies, and it's, you can tell they're just interns in sweatpants. But what that game did was so genius is it was based on an arcade game. And so the first time you play it, you have five continues. And if you die and lose, the next time you play it, you have 10 continues and then 15 and 20. So, like, you will gradually get farther. And in theory, if you're good enough, you could get to the end on the first try. But, I found that that was a very natural way to kind of encourage you to keep revisiting the game and not giving up the ghost too quickly. So that was just kind of my take on Shredder's Revenge. It was like, it was really cool, but over too soon. And, I didn't see enough compelling reason, at least as of launch, to keep revisiting it. I know they've added more characters, and I think the challenge mode was also DLC.
Okay, yeah, I can see that coming in making some amount of difference. I think from the flip side, like if it had been harder to that level of like we can't get through this, I think we just wouldn't have played it.
Yeah. Yeah. You were looking for a casual thing, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to do an episode eventually at some point of the Cowabunga Collection because I don't know if you know what that is on the Switch. It's like 10 Turtles games, including the arcade original that Shredder's Revenge was based on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's also like the NES games, the Game Boy games. It's like every old Turtles game all in one. So I've been curious about that.
I did
Yeah, I'm
not
glad
know
you
it
like
had
Shredder's
that.
Revenge. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's on Steam. I know you like to buy things on Steam, but this is a Switch podcast and it is on Switch. Yeah.
No,
Anything
I think we were
else?
discussing whether or not the original was on anything, and it's like I have no idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is all that I've got.
Yeah, so let me just add that I've just been having the greatest time playing through preparing for our episodes of season two. I've been playing Flicky and Mappy and Spanky's Quest, getting ready for the mascot themed episode. We're recording that soon. Those are games. I'm also revisiting fighting game episodes for that one and the Breath of Fire game. I'm gonna try to beat this one, Mike. And we've recently, I think, secured a guest for our Breath of Fire episode. And it just occurs to me what makes Switch so great is that like with these retro games, they're great. Relax and sort of go off into the evening. They're not the most complex thing. I know like Steam Deck has modern games, but they have a million menus and battle passes and intense graphics. There's something just nice about old 2D graphics that only the old timers, only the real ones will really appreciate. So just playing game, getting ready for season two. It's going to be fun.
Should be a solid season.
Absolutely.
So I think that wraps up what we've been playing lately. Join us next time for our season two premiere, which will be going live on Wednesday, April 24th. On that episode, we'll be joined by JMO's brothers to talk Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Until then, please remember to like, follow, or subscribe to the Old Switcheroo and rate or review the show wherever you get your podcasts. That always helps. You can also visit www.theoldswitcheroo.com to find all our social media links. And we'd love to hear what you thought of this episode, what you're looking forward to hearing about in season two.
Yes. And as always, thank you for listening to the Old Switcheroo, where we've been talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I've been Mike.
And I've been JMO. Game on, everyone.